So the reading is from Matthew chapter 28, reading from verse 16, the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray? Father, would you lead us and guide us as we listen to your word? Would you fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, that we might hear your voice speaking to us all today? We ask this in your name. Amen. I think I'm going to play a game over the next few months. I'm going to try and find different places in this building to record sermons. And just maybe, if we end up with a nice day at the right point, I might attempt to preach with a view, as our Baptist friends might describe it. For them, it's the idea of preaching with a view to going to be the minister, whereas I might look at somewhere... As I record this, it's actually 5 years to the day that we abseiled from the Tower at All Saints, so lofty things. So today's reading is probably one of those verses that most of us know. There are some of us, I know, that aren't as familiar with the Bible because we haven't been around the church and faith as long as others. So this might not be familiar to us all, but most of us will know these words. Jesus says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And this is known throughout the church as the Great Commission. One of our hymns that we sing here sometimes, "Lord, you give the Great Commission." And people go, "Well, what's the Great Commission?" Well, you know, Jesus doesn't mention that anywhere in the book. No, this is the bit. This is called the Great Commission. People put huge stock on the last words that someone speaks. Your closing words, the brave last words before one faces the firing squad, or last words before heading off into battle, "Once more unto the breach, dear friends, once more." Although Henry, they weren't his last words. Various other people's last words are maybe not so auspicious. I think probably the worst set of last words would be, "Oops." But last words matter. People want to know what last words someone speaks. Now, in one sense, these aren't Jesus' last words. Jesus' last words are yet to be spoken because heaven lies in our future. It sits in eternity. But these are the last words that Jesus spoke before he ascended to the Father, so that he could send the Holy Spirit to fill his church, so that he wouldn't be limited to one time and one place. 2 billion people queuing up for a lifetime and a half for a 30-second mention with Jesus. So what does Jesus say to his friends and followers as his last words? And I think There are five things here. And we'll go through those five as we go. If you want to, you can go and grab a Bible from over there. There's a bookshelf over there that's got the Bibles on. If you've got one of these Bibles, the church Bibles, then we're looking at page 1001, which is quite fun, actually. 1001 ways to follow Jesus, 1001 sermons, 1001 Arabian Nights. But on page 1001 in our Bibles, you'll find these five things that Jesus says to bring to an end his earthly ministry and to set up his disciples for what is to come. And the first thing Jesus says is go. Now, if you remember last week, we were talking about the man who was healed at the pool of Bethesda, and Jesus said to him, get up. Jesus says to other people, be healed. To other people, stop. To other people, listen. Jesus is a great one for command. For commanding speech. He's not a, well, you know, if you want to, you know, so long as it fits in with your plans, then you might like to just sort of nip down and have a little word with people. No, 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 no. Jesus says, go. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus says. Therefore, go into all the world. We are a sent people. In one sense, this building is only useful in that it gives us a place to go from. Church buildings should be launch pads, not landing sites. We are to go, live to feed the hungry, stand beside the broken. Show me how to love like you have loved me. We sung those words just a few moments ago. Break my heart for what breaks yours. Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. It's not about what happens in here necessarily. It's about how we go out there. Jesus didn't say, stay. Jesus didn't say, invite them in. He said, go. Go. This is a launch pad, not a landing site. Secondly, make disciples of all nations. Make disciples. Now, that's a really interesting thing to say. He didn't say, discover disciples. He didn't say find disciples. He didn't say encourage disciples. What word does he use? The word is make. Discipleship. Disciple, the word means learner or follower, sort of both meanings. Discipleship is not something that just happens any more than clean clothes and clean dishes and clean sinks just happen. There's that wonderful YouTube clip of a bloke and his wife comes in and he says, this basket is amazing. He said, it's magic. And she says, well, how is it magic? He says, well, I put all my dirty clothes into this basket and I leave them there, and 2 days later they're clean and they're ironed and they're in my wardrobe. He said, it's absolutely amazing. Some people think discipleship's like that. All they have to do is to leave a Bible out and maybe a palm cross and a few religious artifacts, and somehow discipleship will happen around them. That we can just wear a cross and expect that other people will suddenly develop their own discipleship following of Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that any of those things are wrong, but it's like the guy with the basket. Actually, how do dirty clothes become clean clothes? Because somebody washes them and irons them. How do pots end up being clean? Because somebody washes them and dries them and puts them away. How do people become disciples? Because somebody has put effort in to helping them to grow and learn what it means to be a friend and follower of Jesus Christ. We don't expect gardens to become naturally beautiful in terms of, you know, pristine lawn and little bundles of flowers around the edges, just left to their own devices. They are particularly beautiful when left to their own devices, and sometimes that can happen. But on the whole, gardens that are left to their own devices turn into little wastelands. The same is true of Christian believers. You take somebody who's beginning to wonder about whether God exists, and you give them a vague set of religious platitudes and maybe just stuff a Bible under their nose, that's not actually going to make a disciple. You can't just hope that discipleship rubs off on people. We have to make disciples. We have to have conversations with people about what it means to follow Jesus. We have to engage with the hard questions. When somebody asks you about suffering and pain, we have to have an answer. That answer might just be the blessed coat rack of mystery, but it's still an answer. It's not just going, oh, well, I don't really know. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have, Peter wrote, but do it with gentleness and respect. We need to have an understanding of our own faith, and we need to be active in building others up. No one becomes a disciple on their own. A disciple is someone who follows and learns. And Jesus said, go, get out, and make disciples. What's the next thing he said? Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the few times in Scripture when the Trinity pops up in that format. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptizing. That's what we do over there in that font. And you know what? Baptism isn't something that vicars alone can do. It's something we do because that's the way that our church works. But if in a situation where somebody wanted to be baptized and there wasn't an opportunity to get a vicar around, do you know what? Every single one of you can baptize. There's even a page in the pastoral services book, and it says, in the event that somebody wants baptism, assure them that they don't need to be baptized to go to heaven. But if they still want a baby baptized or a young person baptized or an adult baptized who's very ill and has never been baptized, then you take water, and that might even be just a tiny little bit of sterile water in a syringe. And the whole service consists of person's name, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. End of service. My grandma baptized all four of my Jehovah's Witness cousins in her sink. Three of those cousins are no longer Jehovah's Witnesses. Good on you, Grandma. I love you to bits and I can't wait to meet you again in heaven. Baptize. Make disciples. Bring them into the family. This is okay. Gathering together as a family is okay, so long as it's for the purpose of sending us out. Go. Make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And that's why we have the Gospels. That's why so much of Jesus' teaching and preaching is written down and recorded for us. Because Jesus said, this matters. Pass this on. Tell these stories. Tell the story of the shepherd who left 99 sheep. Tell the story of the woman who lost her coin. Tell the story of the sons who were alienated from their father and who were returned back to faith. Go and tell people that they should love their enemies. Go and tell people that they should pray for those who persecute them. Go and tell people that they should love their neighbor, even if their neighbor is a foul-mouthed, smelly drunk. Go and tell people that God's heart is for the poor. Tell them the story of the rich man and the beggar at his gate. The beggar at the gate who ends up in paradise. The rich man who ends up in torment. Warn them. Everything I commanded you, love one another. Do this to remember me. Wash one another's feet. Bless those who persecute you. We are to pass on the teachings of Jesus, for we are Jesusians. Christ is not Jesus' surname, it's a title. Christ is the Greek word that goes with the word Messiah. And Messiah simply means one who has been anointed. Christ means one who has been anointed. So when we say Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Anointed One, Jesus Christ, we're saying the same thing. We are Christians. We are those who follow after Christ, follow his teachings, follow his lead. We are his people. We are Jesus' people. We belong to him. Therefore, we have to not just go, not just make disciples, not just baptize them, but we are to teach them. We are to teach them everything that Jesus said, because they aren't Stephenians, they aren't Christians, although actually that's where the name comes from, they aren't Malcolmians or Margaretians, they aren't even Petians after our bishops, they are Christians. It is his teaching that we teach them, not ours. We don't teach them our message, we teach them his message. Go. This is a launch pad, not a landing strip. Make disciples. It's not a passive task, it's an active one. Baptize them. Yes, all of you. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. And what's the last thing that Jesus says? And I will be with you. On the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus is the last human being who ever needs to say those words. Surely, Jesus says, I will be with you always, to the very end of the age. We are not alone. There are days when we feel like it. God alone knows, over the last few weeks, there are days when I have felt very, very, very alone with things that we've been facing as a family, and I'm immensely grateful for the help and support that we've received. If you're feeling alone today, know the truth that God is with you. Even when our human feelings and perceptions think that the universe is empty of God's presence, that is not the reality. My eyes are dim, my ears are failing, my heart is weak and feeble. And he is always there for me and for you. Surely, he says, I will be with you always. So, I usually try and make sure that my sermons have got something practical for us to do. This one's pretty obvious, really. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to Jesus. His word is law. He is higher than me. He is higher than the archdeacon. He's higher than the bishop. He's higher than the archbishop. Even the Pope bendeth the knee to Jesus. There is no president or prime minister that will not have one day to bow the knee to Jesus Christ. From the highest, best paid actor to the poorest child in the slums of the third world, everyone has to submit to Jesus' authority one day. All authority in heaven and earth belongs to him. Therefore, go. Get out of this place. Go and be his people out there. 168 hours in the week. You might spend 2 hours in here on a Sunday morning. That gives you 166 hours to go and do what he says. And what does he say? Go. Go out everywhere. Go to Highfields. Go to West Avenue. Even go to Carcroft. Go to Hyde Park. Even go south if you have to, if that's where God calls you. He might even call you to go to Cantley and Bessaker or Bentley or to the ends of the earth. But you go where he calls you to go. 14 years ago, it was announced I was coming here against my better judgment. And I've never regretted going where God told me to go. Go where God calls you. Go and do it. Go and do it now. Make disciples. They're not going to get it by osmosis. They're not going to get it by you creating a vaguely religious atmosphere around yourself. You're going to have to work at this. There are conversations to be had. There are things to challenge. There are people to speak to. There are prayers. Many, many prayers that will bring people closer to God's kingdom. And in the midst of thy kingdom come, there's 10 days of prayer between Thursday and Pentecost Sunday, a week on Sunday. Pray for 5 people that you might have an opportunity to tell them a little more, that you might have an opportunity to make some disciples. And you can. Don't any of you tell me you can't do that, because I know you can, because Jesus is with you and he'll give you the words that you need. Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure the bishop's terribly happy with me telling you to go and baptize people, but do you know what? Let's get people baptized. Let's say to people, do you know what? The door to God's family is wide open to you. Come on in. The water's lovely. Teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. If you don't know this book, if you don't know at least the teachings of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts and Romans follow on, but you know, there's a different song. If you don't know at least the teachings of Jesus, then commit yourself to find out what he said. Write it down. Read it out. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. If you can't manage that, just do Luke. If you can't manage that, just do Luke 15. If you can't manage that, just do the first bit of Luke 15, where Jesus talks about being the good shepherd who goes out and rescues the sheep. Teach them. You lot, I'm not the teacher, you are. I teach you, you teach them. It's like some great pyramid selling scheme. Except the final payment is infinite. Go, make disciples, baptize, teach, and know without any hesitation or shadow of doubt that Jesus is with you. And on the days when, like me, you doubt, find someone you can hold the hand of who will remind you of these words. Surely, Jesus says, I am with you to the very end of the age. Would you stand if you're able, please? Saints of God, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything he has commanded you. And surely, he is with you always, to the very end of the age. Amen.
Stephen was talking there about that you don't need any special gifts or skills. And about 13 years ago, I was sitting in a pew just 3 or 4 rows back. The first time I'd been in church for about 10 years of my own volition. And the story was the lost sheep. And I felt like a circle had been drawn round me, like those old benefit cheat ads. Got you back. And 13 years on, I work for the Church of England. Who'd have thought? So if God can take me, firstly, he took me 250 miles away from Edinburgh, which is my home, and if he can take me and take me from somebody who didn't go to church any longer to somebody who now goes out and talks to children and young people about what it means to be a Christian and what a change it can make in your life, then he can do it with anybody. Trust me. As Stephen was talking, I remember this tweet. This is from Pete Wilcox. And I just thought it was a lovely summary of what it means to be a disciple. It's not an either or. You can still be learning. But a disciple is somebody who has moved from being the recipient of the church's ministry, the recipient of that outreach, that love, that care, to being responsible for the church's mission, to going out. It doesn't mean you have to go out and find a million people and stand in the street corners and shout at them. But just one by one, you can be that witness in your own way. And I just thought that was a lovely way of bringing that.